on, what more do you people? Strap in.
Unsettling start, wasn't it? Hearing about all that.
I'm terribly unsettled. I'm always unsettled, but this is... I'm more unsettled now than I've ever been unsettled about this. This is a time to panic. And if I don't panic, who's going to panic for me?
You can lead us in the panic because I might be behind you on this one. My favorite was I woke up this morning, I got that little alert, and it said major snow event coming, up to 9 inches of snow may make traveling difficult. I was like, you think?
Yeah, you think?
Difficult? There are other words for that.
I'm having a crisis here. First of all, my Wi-Fi. I don't know what to do about my Wi-Fi. I can't find my
working?
Wi-Fi.
What do you mean can't find?
Are we having a Wi-Fi problem in here?
And the tribute in our building?
Yeah,
I don't even know that.
You didn't even know we had Wi-Fi?
Well, every time I've tried, it's like one bar. I'm like, forget this.
All right, so that's my first major problem. My second major problem is what Tom just talked about. I think it's all of our major problems, which is that this is the calm before the storm right now.
This is you calm?
This is me calm. Oh. Imagine the panic on Friday when this is going on. We'll be broadcasting in the middle of that 30-hour span.
We will.
Right? Because it's going to start around 11. What do you say? Around 11 o'clock midnight on Thursday night, tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah, I know.
And it's like basically not going to stop. As Judy pointed out, 30 hours.
I would say get your hotel room now, Ro. You're not getting home.
My hotel.
Unless you walk.
I live across the street.
Rose, but the closest. Gonna, the rest
of
the suburbanites
are in trouble. I'm the worst off, but we are talking about hotel rooms at this point.
I know. Let's hunker down. We'll get it. You know what? Nothing will make me want to... would make me crazier than all of us in a hotel room and Violetta up all night going, what are we going to do now? What are we doing? What are we doing?
Are you guys sleeping, really?
Play a board game?
We should crash at your house, I think, Ro. All of us. To just go there. And
yeah, you have plenty of room.
The basement
so much
room.
And you know what, Ro? This time, I'm not kidding.
Multiple we might levels.
Oh, yes, you are. Oh, yes, you are.
No, well, you know, we've got the news is open 24/7, so.
Yeah, the basement is just... The final work folks are down there now. It's been a 2-month odyssey since I had my
that long ago,
my flooding issue,
pipe burst.
Yeah,
all taken care of now.
Breached,
good as new.
I like to say breached. It's pretty close. It's pretty close.
Okay,
just finishing
it'll do.
Up.
Get an air mattress.
Finishing
for us.
Up now, and it's going to be. But I got to tell you what is amazing. How pretty right now the deck looks,
with the snow
on it. It's really pretty.
There is something pretty about freshly fallen snow. I mean, who doesn't
love
that?
Well, then you're going to love the next few days.
30 hours. It's going to be my 30
it's
hours.
It's going to be a wonderland.
But the problem is it turns into slush.
Right. Well, on the streets,
it's
the worst. It is just, right now, I mean, as pretty as the snow was yesterday, it's gray, ugly, messy.
There's salt everywhere.
It's like every dog in North America came and pooped on it in Michigan Avenue and left.
Yuck.
And sometimes you think it's solid, so you like step into it, and then it's like watery, smushy,
yeah.
Gross.
Exactly.
Horrible.
Yeah, it's not good.
And it's happening on a Friday, so that's going to make the commute even worse.
Yeah, I'm posting up this weekend. I'm not doing anything.
You know, when I left the other night, it was bad, and that was hardly any snow.
Yeah.
And I stayed
it's
even
all
later.
It's all about the timing. They're not going to be able to get the plows out when it's rush hour. Obviously, there's too many cars out.
Well, they will. But here's the nice thing.
I think people won't come to work.
There's a therapeutic salt level on the streets already. So that's good.
Kind of helps.
Yeah. I mean,
melt the snow.
So the salt is already kind of there. At the beginning of this, they will get out early. I have to say, I mean, I was in high school when the great snowfall that cost Mike Bolandic the mayoralty of Chicago.
Mm-hmm. When Jane Byrne won.
Right. And it was really all about, the city did not know what it was doing. It has got its act together. And now they also have, which is really, really cool. If you ever have seen on TV, they show the weather center here, the city's snow command.
Right.
And it used to be guys who would show up and they would they'd wear sweater vests and there would be these big paper maps on the wall. And then you had one guy was asleep at a desk and other people were like, all right, did Jenny call in or not? Because Streets and Sand back then, there were a lot of guys who had no-show jobs. Not no work jobs,
no-show jobs.
Because you got three levels. The guys actually do their job. Then you got show up but no work jobs. And then you got no-show jobs. Where someone else signs in for you and then
you get paid.
You get paid.
And you really don't have to be there at all.
And thanks be to God, to the Justice Department of the United States of America, and some other things. And now there's less of that.
Sure.
Not completely done, but there's a lot less of it than there used to be.
They cracked down on that.
And Snow Command actually has, they've got screens, and every one of the plows has a GPS finder on it, so they know where everybody is.
Mm-hmm.
And they dispatch them in different, you know, they can figure out where the traffic is, and they can try to do, it's very efficient, it's very good. It's really, by comparison to the way it used to be, very, very good. So
we're in good hands, you're saying?
As good a hands as we've ever been in terms of that. But that's still not good when it's 9-10 inches.
It's going to be right. A real event.
I know, and 9 inches is not, you know, it's never 9. They say 9 to make me feel better, but it's going to be 12 to 14.
Depends on where you are.
Right. And I know.
If you're in Northwest Indiana, watch out.
Right, where it's always 40 inches no matter what.
I know. You might want to go up to Wisconsin. They're only getting 8.
No, thank you. I can't afford it up there. Paul Ryan would kick me out because I've insulted his man. All right, but hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Congressman Kinzinger is going to join us. Congressman Great. Maverick is going to be here coming up right after. Judy tells us what's happening in the WGN-TV newsroom, or radio room. Why did I say WGN-TV newsroom? Why would I even say something like that? In the WGN radio newsroom, what's happening at the bottom of the hour? Playing the music. I don't see the congressman here.
He's coming. It's a busy day over there in Washington. Senate leaders announced their budget agreement. Meantime, yeah. Nancy Pelosi was doing the closest thing to a filibuster without being a filibuster anybody's ever seen, speaking for 6 hours.
Oh, God.
About the need to come to agreement, or at least get the firm up some plans by the speaker to talk about DACA and get that legislation passed, or else she ain't going to vote for.
We should carry that live the next few hours of her talking. It'd be great radio.
She's still going right now?
She was going as of, I don't know, let's see.
Let's play back the entire 6 hours.
And her staffers were saying they didn't know when she was going to stop.
Let's podcast all.
That's a good
hours.
Thing. Like, when they like, I can't imagine the press request. When is she going to stop?
I don't know.
We don't know when the speaker, when the minority leader is actually going to stop. We believe that she is. She's going to continue on forever.
12 minutes ago, ABC News reporting, I had no intention of yielding back, Mr. Speaker, and she continued her extended speech. Now entering at 6 hours.
Is she allowed bathroom breaks?
I don't think they get bathroom breaks.
I don't think you're allowed to.
No,
that's the whole point of that.
Remember the one congresswoman? I don't want to gross everybody out, but she wore like the, you know, the undergarment thing to try to
adult
get
lovers.
Her through. Yeah, yeah. She was speaking for over 20 hours.
That's dedication.
And she said, you know, it's what you do.
I couldn't imagine.
I know.
Violetta would last 10 minutes. I gotta go.
I can't finish my speech.
Violetta's filibuster would be 16 minutes.
That's pushing.
Wait, where are you going?
Wait,
that's not still, a filibuster.
She's still going. Hold on. Here she is.
Education, key to upward mobility. Talent, but not underutilized. Educated to reach its full potential, to reach the aspirations.
Just repeat the same words over again? Is that what you're doing? That is not what Jimmy Stewart did in Mr. Smith Goes to Washington for his filibuster.
But Ted Cruz, remember, he read from Dr. Seuss books. He made sure everyone got to, because he wanted to read Green Eggs and Ham to his daughters back at home.
Yeah. That's right, I did. Oh, I don't like green eggs and ham.
Somehow
Sam
you made it dirty.
Sam, I am.
But what if you add queso to the ham and eggs?
Let me tell you something about green eggs. You get them in your mouth and they're all kind of, they're too hard. And I don't like all these hard eggs in my mouth.
Oh, yuck. Sorry to bring that up. Somehow he makes everything dirty. That Ted
And I love this story, and so I'm going to read it to you. Sam I am. That Sam I am. I do not like that Sam I am. Do you like green eggs and ham? I do not like them, Sam I am. I do not like green eggs and ham.
I do not like green eggs and ham.
Would you like them here or there?
Yes, anywhere. Oh.
Oh. I would not like them here or there. I would not like them anywhere.
Anywhere.
I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them.
Sam, I am. Oh, yes, Sam, I am.
Paying back. And that's why if we can just do this piece, that would this piece which has urgency to it, because it has a timetable that the president has put forth, just doing this piece.
I'd like to actually see the two of them on a road show together. I'd like to see Ted Cruz and Nancy Pelosi.
I'm not sure those two could agree on anything. Of course, they're not in the, you know, she's in the House, he's in the Senate. But think about how different those two individuals are.
How creepy the whole thing would be.
How creepy it would be as well.
She would just keep repeating the same word over and over, and he'd just keep reading Green Eggs and Ham.
Why can't you open your eyes? It's so creepy. Your eyes aren't open.
Nancy Pelosi speaking and standing in 4-inch stilettos the whole time.
Oh, come on.
So am I, by the way.
Uh-oh.
I like to do all my speeches in stilettos because it hurts my toes. And then it feels so good when it hurts.
You enjoy the pain.
I do enjoy the pain. And plus, my ankle's turning a little bit. And you get that little feeling in the bottom of your ankle. And then your big toe is smushed into the toe next to your big toe. Do you call that the pointy toe?
No.
Please don't talk about your pointy toe. Please, please, please.
I like feet. Have I ever mentioned how much I like feet? I like to look at feet.
No.
Isn't it awful when they smell all funny, that one's stinky?
Ew.
Go back to the Green Eggs and Ham or something. But anyway,
she's got such pretty feet, though.
Nancy?
Yes. And she's got that big toe. It's right next to that middle little big toe.
I feel like she's got some bunions.
And oh, that little pinky toe is so cute. I just want to kiss it.
Oh, no.
Ew. Big time ew.
Yeah, this took a terrible turn.
It did.
Playing back her six-hour filibuster could be used like an interrogation technique. Just play that over. You'll get anything.
I will tell you.
Ted Cruz.
I will tell you.
You'll get anything.
We are going to attack in the full moonlight at midnight.
Right.
When she was a child.
Make it
stop. She grew up in Boulder, Colorado. She played on her high school football.
Oh,
softball.
She's, she's telling dreamer stories is what she's doing.
Wow.
So she's going through. Because that's what she's asking.
I'd like to tell a story about my dreams. Is that okay?
No.
Is Nancy Pelosi in your
dreams?
See,
I was being chased by a gigantic bull through the streets of San Antonio. And it turned into a river. And then the bull got all up on top of me. And I got to see something underneath the bull. Really scared me.
No, this is too much.
Let's go back to Dr. Seuss.
Yeah.
Anything.
All right.
Pelosi, whatever.
Right.
This
is what happens
us.
When the congressman doesn't call us. Have we heard from what happened to the congressman? He could have been a part of this. He would have really loved this part.
Oh, I'm sure.
He's busy listening to Nancy Pelosi's six-hour filibuster.
Any minute now, she's going to stop.
He's gripping stuff,
guys. His people are telling him, don't call. Don't call right now. Please don't call. Whatever you do, don't call.
Bad move.
This will ruin your career.
You don't want to be part of this.
All right. Coming up, we have got... Let's see what is coming up. Oh, Jeff Earle's going to join us.
Mm-hmm.
Political editor of Mail Online. And what's going to happen here? You know, this a lot of news could be made over the next day because you also have the opportunity for the president to say he's not going to release a Democratic memo.
That's right. And the Daily Mail broke a major story today involving Rob Porter, who resigned suddenly from the White House over his ex-wife's tales. You know, currently was dating Hope Hicks, and he's gone. Just like that. Daily Mail broke that earlier today.
His ex-wife?
Two ex-wives.
Rob Porter's got two ex-wives?
He has two ex-wives, and both of them have detailed...
I have nothing to say about this, having two myself.
I was going
to
say, careful. But no, your situation is very different. In his situation, he has two ex-wives talking about abusive situations and have photographs and a lot of documented evidence of the past. So,
and he's dating Hope Hicks?
And he's dating Hope Hicks now, currently, as of yesterday. So he resigned.
They just started dating now? Or they were dating?
I think
then
they've been dating for weeks, a matter of weeks. It's been covered in some of these celebrity-type mags.
Wasn't she also reportedly connected to Corey Lewandowski?
I heard that rumor. I don't know anything about that.
During the campaign?
Yes. I mean, that was a rumor. But this one, they actually, it was more confirmed than that these two had started dating. The stuff surfaced about his two ex-wives, and boom, he was gone. And he was kind of a big deal in the White House.
I have mommy issues. That's what I do. I was in so much trouble for thinking about that dream about the bull getting all up on top of me.
Thank you, Ted Cruz.
Creeped everyone out now. Yeah. It's confirmed in the control room at CLTV that they can't even stand it anymore. They're like, oh!
Stop him!
No!
Stop him!
Fuck!
That is a United States senator!
They're finding footage of a bull.
right now they're ready to go, hey, anybody have a bull?
Or toes? Yeah. I mean, Nancy Pelosi's toes? What do you roll when you're doing this? I don't envy their job. I mean, they're...
Cut to commercial.
This is why I should stay in radio. All right, we've got Judy Pilex is 2 minutes away. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN.
Nancy Pelosi's still speaking.
Can we hear a little bit of her? She's still there? Nancy is still there? Nancy!
The American flag, okay. And sang the national anthem. As I grew older, I came to understand that one thing about me differed from my classmates. I was undocumented. However, my parents always taught me to see
what?
Barriers as a measure of perseverance.
I knew it. I knew she was an illegal.
Papa
get her.
Student. He dreamed of becoming a doctor.
Right.
She's
there
reading,
she is.
Reading about
she's filibustering right
stories.
Now. I thought the filibusters happened in the Senate. I didn't realize they had to
they
happen
don't.
In the House.
Yeah, they do, but this is sort of filibuster, speaking for now, into her sixth hour.
Jeff Earle is the U.S. Deputy Political Editor for Mail Online. Jeff is a regular on this program as well. Can you explain to me why it is that Nancy Pelosi is filibustering in the House of Representatives? Any reason for this?
It really doesn't have the same majesty of a Senate filibuster, does it?
No, it does not.
Well, she's doing that because she's, I guess, feels like she's about to get sold out on the budget deal, because it does not carve out any guarantee for doing something for Dreamers. And I think the Democrats tried that last time, and it didn't work out so well. So in the Senate, the thinking was, let's not fight that fight again. And Pelosi is making a grand display to at least try to show some of her voters that she's trying.
So do they want Speaker Ryan to say, hey, we will take up legislation on DACA, or does she want to sort of pre-negotiate what that looks like before they get her vote? Because I know she's saying, I'm going to hold off with my vote until I get something. But what is that thing?
I think she'd settle for and be lucky to get a guarantee from Ryan, but I don't know that he's in a position where he can necessarily do that. Because, yeah, on the Senate side, Mitch McConnell promised at least that they would proceed to immigration, and it's not going to be the Trump immigration bill, but it's going to be something, and there's going to be all kinds of amendments, and it might just die there, but at least he has agreed to take it up. But the majority in the House is not used to having to bend to the minority like that. They can do pretty much whatever they want.
Yeah. However this breaks out, it does seem like the president, at least on this, in this battle about shutting down the government in exchange for the Dreamers, is a political win for the president. He's going to win on that. And it appears in the polls, too, that there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of push for that. Although most Americans want some sort of settlement for the Dreamers, but they don't want to tie it, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think the Democrats, they had misread the public opinion on that before the last meeting shut down. But the fact that they turned around on this with such a 180 sort of shows that they have read where the feeling is on that, too.
Well, I think the real issue here, too, is that Democrats figure that they don't want to die on this hill today, but that the president, Republicans, will die on that hill in 6 or 9 months if they try to throw everybody out of the country. Right. I mean, that's where the problem is really going to be, because the images of Dreamers. And I think that the Republicans are savvy enough not to do this before November, to throw people out of the country before November. But you know, if you leave it up to Republicans to do it, it's a good wedge issue for Republicans, because as soon as the images of people getting rounded up and thrown out, I think most Americans, even a lot of Republicans, are going to stop and go, oh, wait a second, I know who those people are. Some of those people will work for them, or whatever the case is. I mean, it's going to be, it's a pretty dire thing, because the president's rhetoric on this is going to be hard to match in reality and not have it be a big problem.
Yeah, and 2018 looms over all this, and the spot the Democrats in are, you know, if they happen to take the House, as it looks like they might, you know, they're going to be in a position to really influence what happens on this. But if they look like, they're caving in order to avoid a shutdown. You know, there's going to be a lot of, you know, their enthusiastic base might not be so enthusiastic. So that's why they have to somehow put up as much of a display as they can of really fighting for this, but not fight so much that they shut the government down and get blamed.
We saw Senator Schumer say earlier today, because on the Senate side, they think they've reached a deal. We've reached this budget deal. Neither side loves, but both sides can be proud of. That sounds like a real compromise, but then you start saying, well, can this pass over in the House? And that, when you start seeing what's happening with Nancy Pelosi and others, it doesn't seem likely from where we sit. What do you think will happen here with this deadline looming?
Well, I think it's still too early to predict what happens in the House, because I think you're right. The House conservatives and the Freedom Caucus guys are really holding their nose at this, and they've been burned before, the conservatives, on in the tail end of the Bush years, when, you know, the debt goes, when the party piles billions of dollars onto the debt, and they're sort of left holding the bag for
something. Oh, Jeff, come on. These days, those days are over. This notion that Republicans are conservative when it comes to debt, you know, that they're fiscal, you know, debt or deficit hawks, that thing is, I mean, the president has proven that his own, pardon the expression here, but his own celebrity in the party and his own power and his ability to sway, even, I mean, he defies, people who always said this, I mean, you and I have talked about this for years, that he defies political gravity, right? Well, he also defies conservative logic on this, and his base goes with him, and that base is, you know, elects those Freedom Caucus people. So that's it. I think they got to give up the ghost on that.
But you have some Republicans even complaining about it's too much spending on military, and I that was an unusual argument to hear that.
Wait till they see the parade. I think once they see the parade, they're going to change their opinion on that, because
you better get that parade
right,
out there.
Once they see the Abrams tank tearing up Constitution Avenue, they're going to say they're terribly, terribly wrong about this in the first place. All right, let's talk a little bit about the other gigantic elephant in the room here, which is the Democratic memo, the Schiff memo. Do you think the president is not going to declassify it? And if he doesn't, what happens then?
Well, the signals today are that they will declassify it, or at least declassify most of it. But I still am having a hard time getting around the President Trump authorizing a memo that buttresses the FBI and trashes his position when it's in his power to not do it. Yeah. So, but that's just my own hang-up about why it's not the way he usually rolls. But, you know,
true.
The way they can get around it is to put out the memo but redact so much information so that it's very ineffective and the Democrats are still mad at him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You guys over at Daily Mail broke the story, Rob Porter resigning, not a household name, but certainly a significant role in the White House as staff secretary. And then these allegations about his ex-wives coming forward. I mean, I guess those had to be out there already, didn't they? What do you think happened here? And the quick resignation, was that something you all expected?
Well, yesterday. In fact, I was surprised that the White House really dug in for him, and they put out statements from Chief of Staff Kelly and others really backing him up, when at least the first wife's testimony was, you know, we had presented it to them. So they really dug in on this, and then I think it was only when a graphic image of the alleged abuse came out that they realized this was untenable.
Mm-hmm. One of the ex-wives with her swollen black eye, I think, is what you're talking about, that picture was circulated everywhere.
That's
pretty
right.
Much today.
And it's now two ex-wives with very detailed accounts of what they say happened. So, and the other thing that's sort of hanging out there is his security clearance, because, I mean, although I think the public didn't know, the FBI probably did know, because they, you know, they do detailed background checks on these people, and they interviewed the wives. So the White House has a little bit of explaining to do about how he was able to serve all this time without a clearance.
Well, and is it, have we been able to confirm, has Daily Mail been able to confirm that he is actually in a romantic relationship with Hope Hicks currently?
Yes, that's what we've reported, and there's some photographic evidence that seems to back it up of them on a date where they arrived separately to a restaurant and then left together in a cab.
It's interesting. She seems to be becoming more and more and more of a figure here of controversy in the White House. And you do wonder, you know, where does that end? And she appears also to be a little bit of a, you know, maybe the kind of prosecutorial football that's going to be played with here by Mueller and potentially by the Senate. The House, for sure not. The House is basically, you know, writing everybody a hall pass that they can to try to get away from this investigation or try to neuter the investigation. But the Senate's not doing that, and the Mueller people are not doing that. And you do wonder, because the centerpiece is going to be her testimony about the president's involvement in rewriting the public statements concerning the meeting between Don Jr. and Jared and the Russians at Trump Tower in June of 16. So that's what they want Hope Hicks for, plus, you know, whatever else she can give them. And then if she's involved in this, you got to remember, Hope Hicks is, what, 29 years old, right? Mm-hmm.
That sounds right, yes.
Yeah, and I think she's 27 in the campaign when she was hired by that Trump organization, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So, I mean,
and
this
she was
is
around for everything, campaign, through the Flynn stuff, through the transition, like you say, to the drafting of the response to the memo. So, and she's not a lawyer, so they can try to make her talk about it.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Executive privilege. Be damned. All right, Jeff, thank you very much. Appreciate it, sir, as always.
Thank
Jeff
you,
Earl,
Jeff.
From Daily Mail Online. They always got the scoop now. They got the scoop. You got
it. Thanks. It was a good one, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it really was. Yeah, it was a good one. Yeah, it's a good one. It's an interesting moment here. Boy, this Portman sounds like a nice man. Porter. Mm-hmm. That's what I meant.
Yeah, there's the second ex-wife's information came out again, as he said, and sort of corroborated what the first ex-wife said.
Yeah, that ain't pretty. That ain't going to
no,
be pretty.
It wasn't.
All right. Right now, we have got Judy telling us what's happening at the top of the hour from the WGN Radio Newsroom. Broconcho with Anna DeBlantis right here, 720 WGN. Tom Skilling right there.
Hey, Tom.
Hello, guys.
Tom Skilling, I am putting out a warrant for your arrest for this.
Well, that's why I'm glad there's 5 miles between us. See, people don't realize that we're doing this on a T1 line? Is that the
Something
terminology?
Like that. Yeah.
So I'm out here on Bradley Place, and we have the guards positioned in front of the door here.
Yeah, they actually Tribune Media hired former North Korean soldiers to secure all of their locations.
Kim Jong-un, his folks.
We don't feed them. We give them one noodle a month, and they're just fine. All right, now. This is one of the few times of the year that when we talk every day, this is one of the few times of the year that we really have to talk about the weather.
Yeah.
Because this is a really big deal in this sense that, this is the time, so many times I can remember being at or around the auto show and some big Megillah of a storm came barreling down
at
us.
Yeah.
Yeah, very true.
Well, you know something. The other shoe had to drop. This is a La Nina winter. Typically, those have more snow than usual, and we've had much less snow than usual. And the last 2 days have kind of started this pattern off. But so you kind of suspected this was going to happen at some point, and it will not have snowed as heavily, if this verifies the way it looks like it might, since back in December when we had, not this past December, but December a year ago when we had 7.8 inches. The thinking now is about 8 to 10 inches on this, and I wouldn't be surprised at all to see a foot in some locations.
That was such a strange winter, too. You're talking about 15
it
into
was.
16?
Yeah.
Or no,
remember?
No, 16 in.
Yeah, and February had virtually nothing.
16 into 17, right? And then there was one big snowstorm, and I panicked, and I thought, oh no, it's going to be like this forever. And then birds singing, and I was like tanning in January. It was like nothing. This though, and this, you know, the nice thing about this is we do believe that we're going to get a little bit of a, you know, up around freezing.
We
you know,
are.
At the end of the month
Much,
and all that.
Well, in fact, even next week, you know, we could have low and mid 30s by Tuesday, and the breed of cold that's coming in the rest of next week is almost could be considered normal, close to the 30-year average.
Yeah,
that we call
so
normal.
This is the thing. It'll start to melt. This is a lot better than having this a month ago where it sticks around. But
and you did you notice today, Ro? Even with that, 2 inches we had last night, the pavements are wet and some of that is chemicals. But that February sun starts going to work on this. We're getting a different sun angle, longer days, and that does affect the snow and the way it sits.
Now let's talk about
what's coming up
though, because the hour by hour is fairly important here for Thursday and Friday.
It is. And the one thing to make clear, no problems with that we see now for either rush hour tomorrow. So this is not a tomorrow issue. It's a tomorrow night Friday. And Friday could see both commute periods affected by this. The snow, the best thinking now is that it would commence in the 8 p.m. to midnight range tomorrow night. And then it would snow fairly steadily into the wee hours of Saturday morning, which would make this about a 24 to 30 hour snow. Now, that's not to say on Friday there might be some periods where it oscillates in intensity a little bit. But if you just take an average of all the models we've got now, and they do a pretty good job with these things, they've got pretty good rates of snowfall in both rush hours. And the thinking now is, we have about 71 hundredths of an inch water equivalent off one set of models, 91 hundredths off another set. This will be about a 12-to-1 ratio snow. So that fluffs up to about anywhere from 8 to 11 inches, 8 to 10 inches of snow. And then a couple of spots could see 12 inches.
So where do you think the most will be, Tom, and the least?
Right through the area. It looks like the we're going to sit, as it looks right now, right through the axis will be right across the Chicago area. But there'll be pretty good accumulations north into southern Wisconsin, and amounts will taper once you get out of our southern suburbs and go farther south. But it looks like the amounts, at least from this distance, look pretty uniform across the area. Stay tuned on that, because that's the kind of fine-tuning that will be done in the next 24 hours.
Got it.
And you think pretty consistent throughout this storm as opposed to super heavy periods. Now, that impacts, obviously, roads, but also aviation systems. And they got to figure that out. And you start to wonder when United and American, and I think there are other airlines here, too. I'm not quite sure who they are. Well, Southwest, of course, at Midway. When they start to decide that they're going to be moving equipment to get out of the way of this.
By the way, airlines are offering travel change fees right now.
That's
waivers.
That's where it starts. Yep. Starts with that, and then they figure out what they can move.
Well, they're looking at the same information we are, and I would suspect if you've got a flight scheduled Friday or Friday night, you would be very wise to check with your airlines and keep posted on what they're saying, because I think those flights are in jeopardy.
Those guys are so good. You know, you talk about the love of meteorology.
Oh, yeah.
Those airline guys are the best.
They are.
Because it's their whole world.
Oh,
right
they
there.
Do. Well, you not only have a whole government forecast division devoted to aviation centered out in Kansas City, but you've also got each airline running their own meteorological group. And so you've got United, you've got Delta, all these outfits.
Right, and they got to figure out. And they work with their logistics people about where to place the equipment to get around these things, and what should be coming in and what shouldn't be coming
in. Exactly.
And you got planes in the air. You know, you got planes. There are a lot of these airlines, United and American especially here, that you know, a plane took off 14 hours ago heading to Chicago.
Right. They've got to know what's going on.
They've
got to
figure out where it's going to land, if it's not going to land here. And so they got to figure that stuff out.
Well, when you think about the decision-making involved in that and the amount of money attached to each of those decisions if they move planes around the wrong way and they're all stuck in areas that get more snow than they thought.
And, you know, Anna, who among us hasn't been at an airport when there are, you know, cancellations and delays starting?
Right.
You know, and in the old day, this leads to chaos at the airport. So the more they can head people off before this kind of stuff goes on.
It's the magic of the phone, though. You know, it's even changed in the last couple of years.
It has.
How, if you're, I mean, almost everything you do now in terms of the plane is on your phone.
That's true.
So it's going to let you know. It's not, no longer do they have to call you at home and tell you that that your flight has been canceled. It's, you know, it's right there, and they're moving stuff around. And there is, I just want to tell you, I'm going to plug an app here. I never plug anything. I'm not being paid by anybody for this, just to let you know.
Yeah.
But there's a really, really, if you like aviation and you know, you travel a lot, or somebody in your family travels a lot, you got to stay up with what they're doing.
Yep.
It's called Flight Radar 24. Flight Radar 24.
Okay.
Everything you need to know about
is right there.
Huh? Your flight, where it is, especially if you're waiting for somebody to come in, you can see, I mean, literally, you can see the plane in the air. It tells you everything you need to know about where that plane was coming from, where it's going to, and you can even press a button and you look out the cockpit virtually to see what they're looking at. It's a wild thing.
So you just put in the flight number, is that all you need?
Flight
and then
number
you find out exactly where it is in the sky, landing, delays, all that stuff.
Exactly, and you get to see. And it's, you know, it's a couple seconds off in terms of, you know what it is. I think for obviously for safety reasons, that would be
yeah,
a good
but
idea.
That's still
but it's within
remarkable.
A minute. It's yeah. within a minute of where it is.
It's spectacular.
Tom, we have a question from a 630. What are the odds that CPS or any of the school districts would close due
wow.
to this kind of snow?
You
is
know,
that
Anna,
kind of thing?
You know what? I don't even get into that. I would suspect we're going to have a lot of closures because we're going to be in the thick of this Friday morning, and we will have laid down a pretty good cover of snow by daybreak Friday. Yeah. So I can't believe that a lot of school districts are going to allow their buses and their students to head out in this kind of stuff. So I've learned not to second guess school districts. It's just like deciding whether a game's going to be called or
yeah,
not.
You know, you
sometimes
know.
I'm always amazed at some of the conditions that are played through sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that Friday is probably a good time to watch for
yeah.
cancellations.
My daughter's got a field trip Friday. I'm going to guess that won't go off.
I suspect that's probably true.
Yeah. And by the way, can I mention that we, of course, run the school closing center, and we will have all the closings on that day,
right?
As well as on our website.
Absolutely.
Good to remind people.
It was growing up, it was the best thing to do to turn on this radio station.
Right, I know.
As a kid, and wait for your school to get
mail. Remember that?
And you're like, yes!
And we used to read all of them. Hundreds of them.
Oh, my gosh. And then I'd listen to it over and over, and every time they said Disney, I'd be like, yay!
I know.
So great.
You always tuned in thinking, all right, come on. You know,
come on, a day off.
I want to go out and play in this
come
stuff.
Come on!
Right.
But CPS didn't cancel as much as the others, I found. Because I always be like, gosh, why do my friends at the Catholic schools get to get off today?
Well, yeah.
We never canceled.
We were always going.
No, it's true.
Only in the 79, the winter of 79.
Yeah.
And I guess the winter of 78 was particularly bad, too. 77, 78, 78, 79.
Yep.
And there were like those twin gigantic, I think they were 12-inch plus back-to-back weekend storms in January.
And it got cold after those things.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And so the street chemicals, you know, you go to glaze ice because of the traffic heat at the intersections.
And then no one was showing up to actually move the snow either. That was a separate issue.
It's true. Well, I'll tell you, we learned a lot from that Jane Byrne, Michael Blanty blizzard in 79. No politician is ever going to let anything like that go again. One thing I should notice about that, you know, you always ask, what about the wind with these systems? This is going to be produced by what we call in the weather business an inverted trough. It'll be like a northward buckle in the isobars is what you'll see on the weather map. It won't be a nice roundup with concentric ring isobars like the blizzard, the Groundhog Day blizzard. So what that means is, there'll be some wind. Wind, a northeast wind at 10 to 22, and that with snow flying, it could be a mess, but it won't be like these 70-mile-an-hour winds that we had in the Groundhog Day.
Those are scary. Those are scary, but I like the It's a Wonderful Life snow.
Yeah.
You know, we're just got coming up straight up,
perfect.
Straight down.
Right.
I go to the Chicago River. I wait for an angel to show up.
Right.
That's what I do.
Yeah, you're right.
It is beautiful.
Kind of the textbook, beautiful winter wonderland.
The only difference is I've never walked into a bar in this town where the bartender said, "Who are you?" That has never happened to me before.
I hear you.
Yeah, the That's regular, a, sir? Yes.
Yeah, right.
Tom, more on this tomorrow. Thank you, sir.
Yes, we have 24 hours to watch it, guys. Good to talk to you, Ro.
Thank
and
you.
Anna.
You too, Tom.
Take care, guys.
Thanks.
Bye, Judy.
Judy's got the WGN News at the bottom of the hour. What's coming up? It's the Rokon Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Nancy Pelosi broke the record for the longest continuous speech in the House, a record held since 1909 when Champ Clark of Missouri held the floor for 5 hours, 15 minutes. Nancy's still going into her sixth hour.
Oh, and now she's just piling on. That's what she's doing.
She's saying it's about the Dreamers and wanting some kind of a commitment on legislation for them before she'll agree to the budget deal, which has pretty much been agreed upon in the Senate.
Today, she is earning her PhD at UCLA. Her research interests include the health and aging of the undocumented population. Her scholarly work has
She's going to mention every one of the
700,000
Dreamers, right? And we'll go that way.
Does she go back around then after that?
She should go to the 1.6 million. Wait a second. Somebody gained their PhD.
Well, that's impressive.
What about the MS-13 members? Oh God! This is just crazy town.
I really am concerned though about the bathroom breaks. Does she get one? Or
that's impressive.
She just goes and goes.
I think this is why Kimberly Clark invented Depends, don't you? Isn't this is a perfect? That would be a great commercial, by the way. When you're the minority leader in the House of Representatives and you really have to go, or if you sneeze or cough, this is the product for you.
Nancy might get a major endorsement off of this one. She was actually passed a note just not too long ago telling her she set the record on the House floor.
This just in.
She began at 10 a.m.
Wow. Really? 10 a.m. and it's 5? 10 a.m. in
Washington
Eastern
time?
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
Does she snack during this? Time?
So that's 9 a.m.
Oh, 9. That's right. Gosh.
Wow.
Yeah. So is she in her 7th hour?
That seems like 3 days ago to me already.
It does feel like it.
I don't even remember what I had for breakfast.
I know. It seems like so long ago.
I know.
9 a.m.?
Yeah.
And do you know how many times I went to the bathroom since then?
Double digits.
Oh. I can't imagine.
This is insane.
Yeah. Well, Violetta has a
small bladder.
A bladder issue. And
size of a walnut.
It's not an issue. It's just I drink a lot of water.
I'm surprised we haven't found a sponsor for your bladder yet. You know, they find a sponsor for almost everything here.
True story. On the way back from Cleveland, we stopped. She got back into the car after she just went to the bathroom and sat down and immediately said, I got to go back to the bathroom.
Went I could probably go again.
And I'm like, just go.
I've never seen Kevin so angry.
Well, I was like, you guys were
you're
late.
On
you
your way.
So late. We got to the show like 60 seconds before the show started.
And that's
generous. It was a live broadcast. It was our Halloween show at CD and Me in Frankfurt, which actually gave you an advantage because it's closer.
It's true.
Than having to make it downtown.
And we were rolling the open, and you guys still weren't there yet. I remember
it's
that.
Close. Yeah. We made it.
I recall calling you with like 10 minutes to go.
I'm like, I'm not answering. You answer.
And Kev's like, we're fine.
I'm like, you answer. I'm driving.
And I'm wearing the Ryan Lochte outfit, which, by the way, was not particularly comfortable.
Yeah, you had like the bathrobe and the weird hair, and you were furious and storming around on the phone.
Yeah.
It's a great look.
Yeah, it was really quite a moment.
Yeah, we made it, though. Barely.
Yeah. It's very, very upsetting to everybody that was there, including me.
I had to sit next to you in your tights, so don't tell me about upsetting.
I just want to ask you, though, if we found you like a bladder, there's got to be a bladder clinic somewhere, right?
There's nothing wrong with my bladder.
How about bladder replacement? We could have a bladder replacement clinic that would, that, you know, hi, I'm Violetta Powdermedic. Do you have to pee every 15 seconds? I did.
It's hard to even do my traffic report.
I once almost got fired for having to go to the bathroom on a road trip 16 times between Cleveland and Chicago.
I can't take that risk any longer.
Don't live this way.
So Dr. Herman Fabitz at the Bladder Replacement Institute. Clinic of America.
Yeah.
Herman Fabitz. Herman, great man.
Herman Fabitz.
Do you have his number?
Yes. Oh, man. All right.
Nancy Pelosi still speaking.
Okay. I don't care anymore.
All right.
All right. Now, Congressman Cosmo Kinzinger, that's his cousin. Congressman Kinzinger is going to join us now.
He says he cares.
He's waiting. The reason he couldn't join us an hour ago is he's waiting for Nancy Pelosi to stop. Does not appear she's going to stop. Because they were supposed to jump to the floor and do something. And now he's standing on the sidelines waiting for this to happen. We will join him in just a few minutes. But first, Judy Pilak, standing by, WGN News in 2 minutes. It's the Roe Con Show with Ed and Blondes right here. And that music can mean only one thing.
Mm-hmm. Our favorite congressman.
Congressman Maverick, as we call him around here, Adam Kinzinger is with us, and I just want to make sure that you and Nancy Pelosi aren't in the same room, so can you count to five for me?
Yeah, I think that's pretty obvious I'm not in the same room.
All right, here she is.
Legalized.
She's still going.
Andrea's mother. What Andrea's grandparents didn't realize was that the broken immigration system made it difficult to grant Andrea's mother
now,
a green card.
Now, this is Nancy Pelosi. She has been on the floor of the House of Representatives since 9 o'clock this morning, filibustering, which there really isn't a filibuster in the sense that it does anything like it does in the Senate where you can stop a vote from happening. You're just waiting for her to get off the floor so that people can continue on to do other things.
She just broke a record for longest continuous speech, a record set in 1909, Congressman.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically the minority leader and the speaker get something that we call the magic minute. And so they take a minute away from the debate time, but they can go over that time. And, you know, it would be 5 or 10 minutes typically. I think Boehner did it for an hour back during cap-and-trade debate in 08-09. Mm-hmm. This is unprecedented, and it's not, you know, look, we could stop it because, you know, we could do a floor procedure to do it. But we're just like, hey, as long as people see Nancy Pelosi as the head of the Democratic Party, it works for us. So, you know, if she wants to keep talking, and she can keep talking.
Well, I don't think anybody's listening to this, quite honestly. I don't think anybody's paying too much of attention to it. But it is. But let's talk about what's really at play here, which is it does appear that the Senate has come up with a budget a budget package here so that it's going to send it over to the House. What are the chances that the budget passed in the Senate now or agreed to in the Senate is going to make it through the House?
You know, it's hard to tell. I think good. We were informed about this a few hours ago, and the text hasn't been written. We have the top lines, which I've looked at, and, you know, look, it's an increase in spending. Some of it is offset in cuts, but this is, you know, the win here for, I think, America is it's a significant investment in defense. And, you know, we had 80 people that died last year in training accidents alone in the military.
Yeah, more than died in combat.
Mm-hmm. Double or triple what died in combat. And that's where you have, you know, people that we took away surface warfare training for certain SWOs. And that's why you have that's what they believe, these ships hit each other and, you know, kill 10 sailors. And so this is really essential that we invest the money into our military. And so I'm looking at the details of this. I think, you know, ultimately it'll probably be a decent compromise. But, look, I'm not happy about the increase in spending, but what happens is if you continue to keep the military underfunded, you're going to have to invest a lot more later. Because everything's going to, you know, all our planes are getting old. They're older than some people's grandkids. So,
yeah.
Or still some people's grandparents.
You saw on the Senate side, they said, hey, not everyone's happy with this, but both sides, we don't love it, but we can both be proud of it. And I guess that's all you can really ask for at the end of the day. But it seems like a much tougher go in the House, where even members of your own party, congressmen, are saying that because of those reasons that you outlined, the fiscal hawks within the party are saying, no, I'm not going to vote for it. It seems like they're definitely going to need to bring some Democrats on board and maybe a lot of them in order to get this done.
Well, I'll ask let me ask you specifically about the fiscal hawks. Because do they still have standing in the era of Donald Trump?
Oh, sure. I mean, look, we're all fiscal hawks, but there's a reality, you know, especially when it comes to military issues. Look, we've got to invest. I call the military the bathtub theory. Well, somebody else called it the bathtub theory. It's the bathtub theory where you can pull the plug on a full bathtub and look at it and go, wow, it's still full. You walk away and then you come back and realize it's empty. And then when you have to fill it again, you turn the spigot on. It takes forever to fill. That's what happens with military spending. So we cut it significantly, you know, 8 years ago, and the decay is now catching up to us. And so, yeah, the fiscal hawks have standing. We're all fiscal hawks, but here's kind of the real issue. 75% of what the government spends is what it's officially called entitlement spending. That's the part that's growing. It's just literally because baby boomers are retiring. They're getting on Social Security, Medicare, and things like that. That's where the growth in the budget is. And I think you can make reforms to that for younger people like myself and really put us on a good fiscal trajectory instead of just cutting around the edges on only the 25% that we appropriate.
Is this a time that can be done, do you think?
No, I don't think so. You know, we're going to continue to. I think there's a tiny bit of reform in this budget package, although, again, we haven't read the full thing. I think it needs to be done. And again, you don't have to do it. In fact, we're not talking about doing it for current seniors. It's like younger people. I'm almost 40. So you can make
you don't want that lady who did ago.
Yeah,
They ran a commercial against Congressman Kinzinger. Mm-hmm. And there was a woman who they ran in the commercial who would say, he's taking away my Social Security.
Yep.
And since then, I've referred to him off the air as Social Security because that's basically what he is. But that's the you know, that's the argument, obviously, that people are going to make against.
And it's not true. And I laugh about it because it's not true. You know, at no point have I ever said we're going to do that. But I say, look, for 40-year-olds, you can reform the system because we can plan differently. But people will just use that, both sides do
right,
it,
sure.
Use that to their political
advantage. Yeah, I'm seeing a lot.
Does anybody want to shut down here? And it doesn't seem like it, but should we expect that may happen? I mean, we're still looking at Nancy Pelosi talking here, and time's running out.
Yeah, no, we've got till tomorrow night at midnight. I don't think we'll have a shutdown. you know, look, honestly, it really backfired on the Democrats. And, you know, I've talked to my Democratic friends and said they were kind of surprised it did. And so there's no hunger. We, of course, don't want to. They don't want to because it backfired last time. You know, whenever you play shutdown politics, mm-hmm. we did it in 2013 and lost. Mm-hmm. You never can win shutdown politics.
Yeah, that is true. And someone did need to explain that to them. Hey, speaking of military, before we leave this, because I want to get to Doc in a second here, but the military parade idea that the president has, I don't think anybody explained to him, if he wants the Abrams tanks to come down Constitution Boulevard or Pennsylvania Boulevard, they're going to tear up the pavement. So he's going to have to maybe rethink that. What is you're an active military officer. What is your thought on that?
So I kind of laughed at it. You know, people, it's been a news story all day long, for goodness sakes. I'd love to see a military parade. Now, I don't think the president is implying that he's going to stand there, you know, like a dictator reviewing, you know, people goose-stepping in front of him. But I think...
Really?
Really?
How else is he going to stand there?
I'd actually love to see a military parade. I don't think it's going to happen, but I'd love to see it, and I'd love to be. It would actually be fun to be in it. I'll go as Major Kinzinger, but I'll get one of those little tiny F-16s that like the they drive around in the parades. It's like a go-kart.
I like the fun. That's right, Major. Make sure everybody refers to you as Major.
That's right.
Yeah. When you make light colonel, call me. I think the thing a lot of people feel about this that is it's weird is that the United States of America, you know, with the only other times we've had military parades, you know, of any great note is when, and I don't even know if you can call it military parade, but when you had astronauts landing on the moon, right?
Yeah.
And then you had ticker tape parades, and then you had these parades throughout America after the first Persian Gulf War. Right. And it was, you had one that went right down Michigan Avenue here. I covered it. It was a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. But that is to celebrate those men and women who went and fought in that particular engagement. This idea of having one that's like the one they had in France or they have in any of the other tin horn dictatorships around the world. Not that France is one, but you never know. And they're not really known for their military prowess anyway, so they got to show them to somebody. This is not something that the United States of America, that is protected by two great oceans, ever really does. Those other countries do it because they're showing their next door neighbors, hey, don't mess with us. We've never done that. Our military is great and powerful and humble. And that's the piece I don't get.
I guess my thing on it is I just don't think it – I've learned in some of these, you know, Donald Trump stories that what starts out as a massive headline, when you get the real story, it was maybe he offhandedly said, I want to have a parade or something, and it's blown epically out of proportion. I don't know in this case. I just don't think it's the end of the world, to be honest with you.
Hey, one more thing before I leave military. Mm-hmm. This idea of military spending, though. You know, the vast majority of military spending is on personnel.
That's right.
And on operations, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, the business operations and the operations of, you know, the gasoline and all that sort of stuff that they use, which is, you know, you never really think about that stuff, but it's a big piece of it, and moving things around. It's not on procurement. It's not necessarily on programs. You know, you wonder if there's a way, do we need, I mean, this is a debate that is worth having, I think, is are there ways, because you know it, you are in it, you see it, there are efficiencies that can be found.
Oh, sure.
In that $283 billion that we spend just on operations in a year, you know there's a lot of stuff that's bad there. Procurement itself, in terms of buying stuff, you know that system has got all kinds of issues. I mean, if they're going to spend money, I think that it's very political when the president gets up there and goes, we want to spend more money because we want to make it great, because that's just a top-line headline kind of thing. There are real devils in these details, including Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan did the largest base closing in the history of the United States of America. You don't have to be a Republican and love America and not think that the military might be a little bloated at times.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I agree, and I heard Mattis actually at our Republican retreat say, "Look, we're going to audit the Pentagon. We're going to do it. We're going to go through an audit."
Yeah, really better. Yeah, because that's a lot of money.
Every dollar of waste you find is like a dollar of reinvestment. Mm-hmm. But at the very beginning, you make a very good point, which is, you know, people often say, "Well, the U.S. spends, you know, $620 billion, and the next 12 countries combined don't." Well, the Chinese don't pay their soldiers, or they pay them almost nothing.
And so about $200 to $300 billion of military spending is what we have to pay to have a volunteer force. Mm-hmm. And it's expensive, but I'd rather have people flying with me that want to be there instead
of
being in the force.
Right. Oh, for sure.
Speaking of expense, a lot of people asking about the parade. How do you pay for that? And I know Senator Durbin was critical of the expense, and you saw the White House shoot back and say this is not a waste of money to honor our military. I don't know where you sit with that, but people say, do you need it, and how expensive is it?
Again, on the parade thing, I just don't know. And, you know, look, it's I mean, ultimately, there's a lot of money that's spent every day by the military. And, you know, maybe the guys that drive can rehack some driving currencies in the parade. So, I don't know.
They'd make a very small parade. And these guys don't want to go in. Nobody wants to march this parade. Hey, let me ask you really quickly about DACA. Do you think there's going to be a deal for Dreamers here on the other side of this budget?
I think this budget, if we get this done, it takes some of the pressure away and it's more possible. But look, I mean, frankly, to be honest with you, Nancy Pelosi reading on the floor for 9 hours, all this does, it rallies her base. It rallies our base the other way. And both sides are in their corner right now. So I think yeah, it's possible if the president takes a role in this and everything else. I've lost hope that it's going to happen soon. Not hope, but kind of some optimism. I still think it's extremely possible, but you know, I think every day that we just keep getting more and more in our corners just makes it less likely.
All right. Well, the deportations are not going to play well. Democrats misplayed on the America's interest in balancing this against a budget and a government shutdown, Republicans will misplay this in terms of how positive America is going to feel about watching people, kids, who are young adults or even adults who never have stepped foot in any other country other than the United States getting thrown out.
Yeah, it is the right thing to do, and it's an 80% issue. And that's why I wish, you know, that we could kind of have a reasonable discussion on it. I actually thought, to be honest with you, I thought the president's proposal in the State of the Union was reasonable. But, you know, when Ms. Pelosi comes out and says that means make America white again, those kinds of comments, and it happens on our side too, but it's not helping us to actually get to a...
At the highest levels on your side, by the way, I might add, it does happen. Some wacky things come out of people's mouths over there. I'm sorry to have to say. All right.
You've
well,
noticed.
Good luck to get back out on the floor there. Hopefully they'll...
Still speaking, so you're okay. You can go to the bathroom
in my office,
grab
right
a
now.
Coke.
just waiting for something to happen.
That's right.
Thank you very much, Congressman.
Thanks,
Adam Gensler. All right, there he goes. All right, let's talk a little bit about what's coming up at the top of the hour with Judy Pilek in the newsroom. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
And it's a special time of day for us, Ro, the time we enjoy.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And special something
every
single day.
We're going to get to that in just a moment. Mm-hmm. I must point out to you that Emil Jones is going to be joining us.
Oh.
He makes his way into the top 5 of 5 here. Probably not the way that he wanted to make his way into the top 5 of 5, but he has, and he'll be joining us to talk about that.
He ain't happy.
No. No, that's a direct quote. And so we have that. We could.
What was he called? Crass on the Blagojevich-Pritzker tape?
Yeah.
Crass.
Yeah. Yeah. I all of a sudden, you know, J.B. Pritzker, who I thought, you know, he spent all this money, and I thought, hey, he's probably going to sort of glide his way in
Did
to
seem
the
that way.
Democratic nomination for gubernator. And it seems to me that maybe it's, I don't know. I don't know.
This was a real misstep, no question. He says it wasn't his best self. And, you know, if you recorded every phone call all of us had, I'm sure there'd be moments. This one was particularly insulting to members of the black community, including Emil Jones, who says this was a major insult.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't think anybody at their moment that they had to talk to Rob Blagojevich was ever at their best self. I think that's just a reality.
At a time when a lot of people knew that the feds were moving in on him.
All right, you know, if it's 5 o'clock.
It's the top 5 on the Rokan Show.
5.
Let's go.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right.
Let's do it.
checking in at.
Number five.
Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis says Congress must get past this current impasse and get that budget deal done for the sake of national security. If lawmakers fail to reach a deal, the secretary says it would have a profound impact on the military.
Shutting down the government would be very damaging to the military. I cannot overstate the negative impact to our troops and families' morale from all this budget uncertainty. We expect the men and women of our military to be faithful in their service, even when going in harm's way. We have a duty to remain faithful to them. We need Congress to lift the defense spending caps and support a two-year budget agreement for our military.
Okay. And he made that push right before Sarah Sanders spoke today. A lot of people thought that was an unusual step, but he certainly believes that the military spending needs to be raised, but also boosted, but also secured, not in a short-term way, but a long-term way.
Yeah, I'm okay. As long as we had Congressman Kinzinger on a few minutes ago, and as long as they're willing to comb through the budget and comb through the operations at the Pentagon, which have consistently been called out for waste, fraud, abuse. I mean, and listen, this doesn't take anything away from the military, the fine men and women, but there are some things in there, not in the pay of the actual people, you know, on the battlefield and in training and all of that, but the procurement system and some of the operation system. The operations is the vast majority of the budget. Operations and pay are the vast majority of the budget. This isn't about we got to get them the best equipment. Yeah, you got them the best equipment, but you also got to get it at the right price, too. Mm-hmm. Just because you got a buddy who runs a defense contractor doesn't mean that you're necessarily, you know, that works out. So I would like some responsibility here, too. It's a good top line headline for the president. Spend money on the military. Yay, everybody agrees. You want to support troops, but you got to do it in a smart way. No one wants to stop and say that right now because that's not politically expedient and that's not fun. Actually doing the hard work there. But now, speaking of a wasteful spending, what about this military parade that the president wants to have? Oh, Secretary of Defense, what do you think about that?
We've been putting together some options. We'll send them up to the White House for decision.
Why divert time, energy, financial resources to the planning of a parade, as the president has asked?
Again, I think that what my responsibility is to make certain I lay out the strategy and make the argument for the oversight of Congress to make a determination of fully funding us. As far as the parade goes, again, the president's respect, his fondness for the military, I think is reflected in him asking for these options.
So he's on board.
No, he's not. No,
so?
He's not.
You're reading between the lines on that one.
Yeah, that's not an on board. That is the opposite of on. If he was on board, he'd go, this is great. I can't wait. This is going to be great. Instead, it was like, I'll send it to Congress. We'll see what they do. And by the way,
planning stages.
He seems to really like the military. That's nice. It's a nice thing. Nobody wants this. The military doesn't want this. This is not how we operate in the United States of America. We are strong yet humble. Well, we were, at least, until fairly recently. And again, I make the point. Countries that have these kinds of military parades are the countries that have either been constantly invaded by their neighbors or want to show off to everybody about how they're going to invade their neighbor. Right? It's all about posturing.
You've seen several members of Congress say this is a giant, loud showing of insecurity if you have to put something like this together. But the White House is saying, no, that's not what we're trying to do. What we're trying to do is just find a way to honor our veterans.
There's a lot
of
ways to do
that.
No
one really knows.
And we have a number of days on the calendar that do that. And there are a lot of different ways to do it other than the president standing on a dais somewhere, as his troops and his planes and his tanks pass him by. Can we get a uniform? I want a uniform. Yeah, I like to get him like the Captain Crunch uniform and have him stand there with the big, you know, the big
Don't
fluffy things on his shoulders. There you go, your potentateness. All right. Hey, speaking of Donald Trump.
Number four.
Donald Trump Jr. recently went to the defense of his father.
Mm-hmm.
The charges of racism, you know, that have been leveled against him by a lot of Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And especially the racism before his dad got into politics. A lot of notable black public figures liked him, he said. Like, this is Donald Trump Jr. saying a lot of notable black figures liked his father.
Mm-hmm. Before he got into politics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing. All the rappers, all the this, all his African-American friends, from Jesse Jackson to Al Sharpton, you know, I have pictures with them the whole life. We say, hi, I've always been friends. You know, it was only till he got into politics that all of a sudden, oh, he's the most terrible human being. I don't know. He wasn't so terrible a couple years ago when you're at his events. It wasn't so terrible then when you're hitting him up for charity dollars and he's sponsoring things and sponsoring scholarships and doing X, Y, Z for you guys. That wasn't a problem. But now, all of a sudden, you're a conservative, so we must take this stance. You can only do so much before people start to see through the nonsense.
Who are you guys in this? That's Jenny Thomas he's talking to, by the way. All the rappers. My dad loves black people. He had all those rappers that were playing in his casino in Las Vegas. So he's talking about Mike Tyson loves him.
And yes, when you're president, you're on a whole nother level.
Yeah, it's a different world.
Well, you're scrutinized for different reasons.
Yes.
You're not just the, you know, billionaire and real estate developer and reality television show person.
What about Lil Wayne? What about Dennis Rodman? What about them?
Quincy Jones.
Oh, wait.
We'll get to that later.
No, we're getting to that. Oh, my God.
He was once a fan of the president's.
Yep. Now he says he dated Ivanka. That's a weird thing. Anyway, the Donald Trump Jr. says that this is terrible, that the left is trying to push this notion that his father is a racist. He then attacked the media.
The media and the mainstream media has become so dishonest, so flagrant. I mean, the best part, I really enjoyed watching the best 90 minutes of television I've ever seen. It was 10 days ago during the health report. When they're questioning the rear admiral who happened to be appointed by Obama, who gave my father his physical, you know, and they went on for, I think it was 94 minutes, you know, just trying. Okay, you just said he's really, really healthy, but, I mean, I felt like I was watching Dumb and Dumber. It's like, you know, one in a million, so you're saying there's a chance. They're just trying to latch on to anything to be able to attack him. You know, no one questioned Obama about his smoking, about about whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm. Did the first son just quote Dumb and Dumber? Is that what I just took from that?
And his own father questioned his citizenship, President Obama's, where he was born.
That's true. So nobody questioned Obama about anything, except, of course, your dad, who said he was born in Kenya. It's an excellent point. Yeah, all right. I don't, there's something about Donald Trump Jr.'s delivery that is off-putting, mm-hmm. I would say, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
Dude.
It's kind of like, don't you, everything is very defensive.
Yeah, that's true. He's constantly on
the defense. You don't really, you know, once your dad's president of the United States, you don't have to be that defensive. You can just tell the story. You just go, hey, listen, some of my dad's best friends are black, like Dennis Rodman and Lil Wayne. And I took pictures with all these people when I was a little kid. Because my dad would have these people over because he needed things from them and they needed things from him. That's how it's done. Jesse Jackson in your living room means your bank account's about to get lighter. That's what that means. That is always what it is meant. Yeah, no, everyone would say that. Jesse Jackson Senior would say that himself. Right? I mean, if he's standing in the lobby of the casino and he wants to see you, you know you're going to have to write a check.
Oh, I love the pictures, though, of everyone showing with Trump and, like, P. Diddy and, like, all the different, a whole bunch of different rappers, him together.
Did you see this? That Melania Trump was following five people on Twitter, and one of them was Barack Obama?
Oh.
And so this came out this morning, and by mid-morning, she dropped Barack Obama and replaced him with P. Diddy.
Oh, gosh. What a swap.
Yeah, and then added like 50 other people to try to, you know, I'm changing things.
Hasn't she said, and Jared have said, that they were Democrats before, that they've been Democrats, and so
yeah.
It makes sense that she would be following Obama. I don't know why you change it now, this 1 year in.
I know why. All right, we get 3, you're 2, and you're 1, but first, Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour in the WGN newsroom?
Make Sundays your official night to tour the city, watch Chicago's best at 10 p.m., then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events. See Chicago 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
All right, top 5-5 continues right here on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. We're up to
number 3.
All right, so J.B. Pritzker, once upon a time, you know he's running for governor now, but once upon a time, he wanted to be in public policy and in the government, and he wanted to do something, so he calls up Rod Blagojevich right after Barack Obama becomes president of the United States,
mm-hmm.
and he's kind of like, hey, well, what are you up to? You think maybe you might have something I could, you know, maybe a little something I could do? And if you've heard those tapes of the musings of Rod Blagojevich, he often would, you know, sort of talk out his problems to anybody who he was talking to. And he was talking about the fact that, you know, he's probably got to give it to an African-American. And J.B. Pritzker says this.
You know, but if you're forced to put an African-American in the spot, which my guess is, you know, forced to do anything, but, you know, my guess is a lot of pressure to do it. Of all the African-Americans I can think that are sort of, like, qualified and people and vetted and people will say, oh, that's a pretty good pick. The one that is least offensive and maybe gets you the most because it gets you that Secretary of State appointment is Jesse White.
You can argue he's, you know, he's got a lot in common with Obama. He's black and white. How stupid is that?
Yeah. Not his proudest moment. I mean, right. Widely seen as the front runner, but I don't know how much this impacts him, but it certainly is taking a toll. Many black leaders have come forward to say the least offensive. What did you mean by that? Emile Jones, among them, called crass, and he's not happy about that.
Yes. And Emile Jones is, and then there was a, then today, well, first of all, Emile Jones is going to join us coming up in just a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But to get his thoughts on this, but then yesterday, J.B. Pritzker had to go, and he stood there with Jesse White, and he wanted to apologize. Boy, I've learned a whole lot here.
I just could have done a lot better. What I wanted to do was to advocate for somebody that I believe in, and that was Secretary Jesse White. And I didn't do it the right way, and I didn't stand up against some of the things that the governor said on that call. And I have been better than that in my life and in the years since then, too, to speak out when I see things like that or hear things like that. And I didn't do it that day, and I really regret that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's...
golly.
There have been a lot of tapes. That one seems to hurt him the most out of the ones we've heard so far. Although County Board President Tony Preckwinkle endorsed him today, and remains to be seen if he can recover.
Yeah, as it turns out, just because a tape comes out that's super embarrassing just a few weeks before the election doesn't really mean anything. I think we've learned that.
I see where you're going with that.
Yeah, I think Emile Jones. Well, we'll see what Emile has to say about this. All right, checking in at
number 2.
Jimmy Kimmel last night talking about Kylie Jenner revealing the name of her newborn daughter.
In other major world news, Kylie Jenner today revealed the name of her newborn daughter. Can I get a drum roll? Thank you. And her name is Stormy. Name is Stormy. So if you've ever wondered whether or not the Kardashians are keeping up with current events, they are not. So far, parenting-wise, she is 0-for-1.
We mentioned that yesterday, in the Stormy Daniels whole thing going on.
Yeah.
She came up with a story spelled a little differently, hers with an I, the other one with a Y.
But uh-huh. And
it's Kardashians.
Didn't the daddy there, didn't he just have to plead guilty to a...
Travis Porter.
Travis Porter just had to plead guilty to a mayhem charge. In causing trouble at a concert, right? At his own concert.
Hmm.
Inciting to violence or something like that.
So, sounds about right.
Yeah, I think he did that yesterday. So, yeah, we got to do what you got to do.
Well, he's got Kanye as an uncle, so she's got Kanye as an uncle, the local.
Yeah, oh, yeah. This is all going to go well. Hey, Chicago meets Stormy. Stormy meets Chicago.
All right, little Chicago.
I'm going to suggest to the next Kardashian baby. Isn't Khloe about to pop with one?
Yeah.
Yeah. She should name her baby Tom Skilling Kardashian.
Because it's all weather related. Yes. Or directional.
Isotope.
West.
Yeah.
North.
There you go. All right. And finally,
number one.
Ozzy Osbourne is amongst a raft of rock stars who are announcing their retirement. I don't know who, is it Republican congressmen or rock stars who are more retiring this year?
It's hard to keep score of who's retiring.
He says he's doing one more show, one more tour, and then it's on to Las Vegas, maybe for a residency. He's not quite sure.
I wouldn't mind. But I'm not saying I'm going to rush to Vegas and do it. But if it's working, I'll do it. I mean, I can fly back and forwards, you know. You're not going to see me in a lounge drinking soft drinks after.
No, I don't picture that at all.
Sharon, asking me questions, Sharon.
Didn't they split up or something?
Yeah, they're back together.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Nice. Yeah, they're appearing together for this final tour ever.
She forgave
promotional
him.
Tour.
Right. She just steps on his oxygen.
So both Ozzy and Elton John final tours.
Oh, there's a bunch of them, right? Right.
Yeah,
Neil Diamond and Paul Simon are also announcing that they're stepping down, along with Trey Gowdy.
Yep.
And other Republicans.
A number of Republicans. They should all get together.
All right. Let's close this thing out.
The top five at five.
The Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right. Yeah, there's always something going on here.
There is.
I don't even know where to begin.
When are we going to talk about Quincy Jones? Got to get to that at some point because that's a fascinating story.
So he had a very wacky, wide-ranging. Referred to as a wide-ranging interview.
Spare no prisoners.
Yeah, in which he discussed his life and his world and who he's dated and who he likes and who he doesn't like, and the Beatles were overrated. And
we trashed some greats one after another after another. Beatles were in there. Michael Jackson.
Explores Marlon Brando's love life
with Richard Pryor
and Marvin Gaye.
That's right.
Wasn't just a stage name. And the other thing that I think is weird too is this says he was dating Ivanka Trump. And wait till Jared finds out about that.
And she's 36 now. I mean, he's saying it like 10 years ago. He's 84, right? And he makes it sound as if she made the move,
citing her lovely long legs.
The best legs he's ever seen. That was part of the interview. I know. It's just,
maybe he doesn't know exactly like what dating means. Like maybe he like met her once for a cup of coffee and he's like, yep, dated her.
My sense is that Quincy Jones knows exactly what dating means.
Well, the dating is separate from maybe what you're talking about.
Well, how he defines it, I mean.
I think that Quincy Jones famously says that he has a woman in every port. I mean, he's like, he hasn't been married in years. He was married to Peggy Lipton, people will remember. Right, to a couple of different models over the years, and then he's just kind of living a single life.
Yeah,
sounds nice.
Yeah, well, I think for him it probably is. Turns out that he's done okay with his career.
He certainly has.
Yeah,
that's not.
He's having a good run.
Yeah, he had a very good run. Although he's got a very Quincy Jones. I don't think this came up in the interview. Has a very weird medical condition.
I didn't even know he was sick at all, but some say that that's why he's giving these tell-alls, because he doesn't feel like he's going to be around much longer.
Well, but that's been going on for like close to 50 years now. He had an aneurysm in his brain when he's a horn blower. That's what he does, actually. That's what he did for a living. And
before he became the legendary music producer.
Yes.
Someone's got to do it.
Yes. He was he had like a Grammy Award winning jazz horn guy. And he had this thing, and they said that he had to stop with was it trombone or trumpet? I can't remember. And he had to stop, I think it's trumpet, because they were afraid that the pressure that he was putting on his brain, it was gonna pop this aneurysm and then he was gonna just die. This is like decades and decades ago. So he moved into being a producer and to, you know, went behind the scenes a little bit as opposed to a stage performer.
Mm-hmm.
He also says he knows who killed Kennedy.
Yeah. He says Bill Clinton knows who killed Kennedy.
The Clintons know.
Yeah.
And that the mob and the Illinois story that we've heard a lot about over the years, that kind of he backs that one up.
Yes. I know who killed him, too.
The queso killed him.
Sorry, Ted Cruz. Anyway, the point is that it's a wide-ranging, crazy, long-winded. I think that Quincy Jones might, at 84, might 110% be there. You know what I mean? You know, might be some things.
And I love how he dated Ivanka story 10 years ago. Sort of buried in there while he's trashing Michael Jackson and how he stole stories and the mob and the Clintons. And it was, wow. He goes after everyone.
I need Ivanka to come out and deny this publicly. Otherwise, I believe it. I need her to stand up and say that she did not date Quincy Jones when he was 75 years old.
Not only did she date him, according to Quincy Jones, she was the one who asked to have dinner with him. She initiated the whole thing, according to the Vulture interview.
Quincy Jones would be one of those guys that it would be a very interesting dinner. You'd want to have dinner with him. Especially now that you see that he's kind of nuts and he'll say anything. That's the guy, that'd be the most fascinating dinner guest. You know, they always say, oh, who'd you like to have dinner with, dead or alive?
Turns out Quincy Jones.
Definitely in that. I mean, you know, she may have gone to dinner with him. Did they, you know?
He said dated. That was the word he used.
All right, so now this is the question. Now, is Jared calling her and it's like, honey, I just saw this thing pop on my phone.
I really want to talk about something.
That's crazy. Did you? This Quincy Jones thing is crazy, right? It's crazy. That didn't happen, right?
And then she just goes, oh, I meant to tell you about that.
Or she goes, oh, oh.
We need to talk.
Or not that. Just, I think her answer is, oh, don't believe everything you read in the paper. And of course, they have to read everything. They believe everything they read in the paper because half the stuff they see in the paper is true and they know it, but they don't want to let anybody else know that they know it.
It's just fake news.
That's right.
Is he a crazy old man? Well, he's kind of cute. Uh-oh.
No response from her that I can see yet, and I bet she won't at all. Waiting on that.
Now, is Melania Trump, who had to pick up a bunch of Twitter followers today because it was revealed overnight that she only had 5 Twitter followers. It became a story. People actually looked at it and realized...
Who had 5 Twitter?
Melania Trump had was following 5 people on Twitter.
Okay.
People on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And one of them was Barack Obama. She had her husband twice. She had the public and the personal mm-hmm. Twitter account. But then she also had... and Barack Obama, and then she had to drop Barack Obama when it came to the attention of what's going on over there, and she then had to pick up a bunch of other Twitter followers, and she replaced him with P. Diddy.
Oh God, that's weird.
Now
that's weirder than following Barack Obama.
We'll see exactly what kind of secret messaging Melania Trump is actually trying to give us if she starts to follow Quincy Jones now too.
Oh gosh,
right? Like, take that. Take that. Oh, man.
Remember when she expressed so much admiration for Michelle Obama? Remember she came out about that when her husband was running and took a lot of heat for it, but stood by that? The whole thing's odd.
I think, honest to God, the more I know about what's happening there, the more I think, and I don't think she's even that interested in truth, justice, and the Slovenian way. But I do think that she stops and goes, I can't, there's some of the stuff I cannot believe.
Right.
Even where, you know, and she comes from a part of the world in which this kind of, you know, political insanity is the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why so many people from around the world try to get into this country. Many legally, some not so legally, but they want to get in. And that's the and now she's sitting there thinking, oh God. Really? Is this what we're up against? And she, you know, she hates the kids too. Because you ever notice that she and Ivanka are never like seen, like, you know, high-fiving each other, gabbing, you know, walking together down the, you know, on the way to the helicopter?
Yeah, they don't seem to hang out. But I don't know that she hates them.
Oh, she hates them.
They both pose a threat to each other.
Yeah. You can tell that they, you can tell that that's a... Remember when Don Jr., you know, didn't... He talked about the kids and he never mentioned Barron?
Right. I thought he left Tiffany out.
No, he left Barron out.
Okay, it was Barron.
Yeah. That's the one. That's how you know it. He had to mention Tiffany because they're closer in age, and she was standing right next to him. Like, hey, I'm here. I'm here.
This Vulture interview is unbelievable because it almost seems like this person who sat down, this reporter who sat down with him, had no idea, and he just started firing one after another. He doesn't even follow it up with a question when he says, "Well, you know, I dated Ivanka Trump." It's sort of like he just lets that sit out there because he's saying so many things about
he might
a number
have
of different celebrities.
Dated a tall, glamorous blonde and thought it was Ivanka Trump. That's possible.
Mix them up.
It's a little different.
What was her name? Ivanka,
I know.
Right?
No, I think guys like that, they don't even know.
So many.
The devil's in the details. You know, it's sort of like, I don't know. It might have been Ivanka Trump. It might have been just another tall blonde.
He's,
I don't know.
Trying to run through the catalog in his head, and he's just heard the name come up so often. Yeah, that sounds right. Ivanka.
I mean, Quincy Jones has some game. I mean, in an era in which it was... You know, interracial relationships, let alone marriages, were, you know, few and far between in the celebrity world. I mean, he was with some of the most desired women.
Of course, yes.
In the world. And he was, and he's got game. He's smooth. He's the dude, if you're familiar with that word.
Paul Allen can play guitar just like Hendrix. The Microsoft co-founder.
Really?
That guy?
I don't think so.
See, I don't know what to make of any of this. This is a guy who should know these things. You know, he's a legendary music producer.
Yeah.
And he's saying that.
I just watched Woodstock the other night. Mm-hmm. It was on the TV. You know, I've seen the documentary a number of times, so this is like the long was like 4 hours. And I just want to get to the Hendrix part at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And it is one of the most spectacular performances ever. Ever by an individual and a guitar.
Oh yeah, I bet.
And you stop and you think, you know. Then he says this about Paul Allen. You're like, okay, well then Paul Allen should be on tour. All right, can I ask?
Yeah.
Judy, without fear of it scaring me, what's in the news at the top of the hour?
I used to think fame was all that I need, and a little bit of money would fix everything. But now I know why I was wrong, and everything changed when you came along. And everybody else was never gonna work out, 'cause there's only one that I need now. And I want to say that you are all that I need to get through the ups and downs and everything in between. And
that's our hero, Andrew Salgado.
He is something special. And every time you hear his new music, you're thinking, why does he still talk to us? He's like such a star.
Because he's still on the way up. Trust me, when he's at the top, he will not take our phone calls.
He won't be.
We'll catch
pretty
him
soon.
On the way back down in like 20 years. You know, that's when we'll...
I actually don't believe that about Andrew. He's the kindest person ever, but he's amazing.
He has a record that is, or an album. And do they still call them albums? I don't know. But he's got an album that is dropping tonight at midnight, and we have the exclusive preview coming up right here on this program.
Local Boy, yep. Done Good.
That is track one right there, thanks. And he's played a couple of these songs. I'll tell you, the one that is just Out of the Blue, which is one of the most beautiful songs have ever heard.
It just stirs your soul. I mean, really, it's hard not to feel when you hear that song. He's so good.
Yes, he is going to be here. And we're going to play that track in full for you so that you can get upset as well. As upset as... I mean, seriously, it's one of those movies. It's one of those
songs. It
kind of
gets you emotional.
Yeah.
Gets you worked up.
Because everybody's been through like
something
crazy
that.
Breakup or something bad, and they did, oh my God, you just want to go.
Brings you there.
Yeah. It makes me want to drink, and thank God that when I say that, that the wine whisperer, Kristen Ellis, who is a star unto her own right, along with our own Jeff Carlin, with that you know, the Binny's that Barrel to Bottle podcast from Binny's, that is
it's awesome
on the WGN Radio. That's the WGNRadio.com. Go there, WGN Plus. It's got all of the podcasts, and they've got this hit podcast now in which they discuss liquor and getting drunk. I don't understand, but it's
working.
I made a career out of that. They might as well follow in my footsteps. So,
thank you.
Whisperer, thank you for being back.
You are so perfect tonight. You have no idea.
Yes.
Thanks for having me.
Yes.
Hey, when I make it to the top, I won't leave you.
Oh,
I
thank
you. Wow. You say that now.
Keep that loyal tape, dog. Please. Keep the tape
on
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, no. Play it back as much as you want.
No,
I'm here to stay, baby.
I don't know if that's true.
I'm here to get residual.
I have been, people have said it to me throughout my, I have people still on the way down and they're like, I still don't want to call you. I mean, it has to be rock bottom. Their car has to be broken down, and they don't have money for gas. Then they call me. That's when
call that guy.
That's when I get the calls. Yeah,
I promise.
All right. So let's talk about. We're here to talk about Valentine's Day.
Yes.
And we're here to talk about the things that on Valentine's Day, if you are looking for wine or spirits, as they like to say. I like to refer to it as booze. This is your place. And then we've got chocolates, too, because now you're from Wisconsin.
Yes, of course.
I don't hold that against
you. It's the accent, though. They have to know. I mean, the listeners must hear it.
Well, I think you could fall into it if you wanted to, couldn't you?
Like, I can turn it on like a switch.
I know.
And when you go there, do you do that?
Oh, well, I come back here, and they're like, you've been home, haven't you? Yes. I proudly
How did you learn how to actually speak like an American, then? What happened there? What happened?
I listened to the Roe Concho.
There you go. Yeah. That's the right answer.
And I looked in the mirror and said, be Roe. Just talk like Roe.
Yeah. That's how it goes. Yeah. Because that Wisconsin sound, I mean, that's a special sort of... Where in Wisconsin are you from again?
My family's up in Appleton.
Oh, so it's very... It starts right up there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Do you have a big green G on your garage door?
We have big green G's wherever we can fit them.
Okay.
I mean,
are you going to turn into a Bears fan pretty soon, or are you changing over? Because you've been here a while.
I kind of want to leave right now.
Yeah. Why would you say that to a true Packers fan? I get it. Hey, what about this Aaron Rodgers? Are you upset about Aaron Rodgers now? Now that he and Olivia Munn aren't together anymore, now he's with that Danica Patrick?
Oh, I'm not upset. No.
Okay.
I don't really. As long as it doesn't affect his game and he's still throwing touchdowns, I really don't care who he's dating.
Yeah. I thought he played.
I'm just happy he cut his mullet off after all those years. So that's all I cared about.
Oh, he played great in the Super Bowl.
He did, but the hair didn't play well.
Yeah, we're just going to leave that right there. All right. Now, Crystal Taylor is here from Kohler Original Recipe Chocolates. And let's do the chocolates first.
Yes.
Because so you want to give a box of chocolates. Let's just start with that. And you want to be, you want to understand the chocolate thing, and then you want to be able to pair it with other stuff, because this is the way that this is really going to work right here. This is the way that we're going to rock this thing. Mm-hmm. And now this is from Kohler, Wisconsin, right? Which is a lot of Chicagoans go up to and vacation. It's a beautiful part of the world. If you're a golfer, it's one of the great golf meccas in North America. And I have to say, I'm a person who, really enjoys the bathroom. And
so you like to go to the toilet museum?
The toilet museum is, I don't think they call it that there, but
no, they don't.
It is like the faded color fixture museum or whatever it is, but it is fantastic.
Yes, it is.
It's a really good, that little town is so cool.
It's like you're escaping into another world, and it's just a really unique getaway.
Yeah, it's like you're escaping into like a movie.
Yes.
It's like the way that movies present the world to us, like everything's happy and everybody's good, and there's a toilet everywhere in case you need one. That's Kohler, Wisconsin.
And you just want to smile. You walk around and everything just makes you smile.
It's happy town.
Well, they thought of everything. And that golf course is like Scotland, isn't it?
There's three of them
there. It's great.
Yeah. I mean, I know that the course along the lake is great, but they also have they've got one that Blackwolf Run is also awesome. All right, let's
talk about chocolates.
Let's talk about the chocolates. All right, now you brought all of your you brought the original buttery terrapin. That's a turtle, isn't a terrapin a turtle?
This is better than a turtle.
It's a terrapin.
We took a spin and made it our own, and this is smoky and
subtle
and just melts in your mouth, and you can't just eat one. You need to really have like five.
This is
or
one
six.
Darn good terrapin, right? It's terrapin. What's the difference between terrapin and turtle?
Well, it's the right balance between the chocolate and the caramel. You don't have too much of one or the other, and they marry just right.
Oh, they do. Mm. They're marrying. It's delicious.
Marry it with the Kelsey Creek single barrel bourbon.
And now, see, now you throw the bourbon on top of that.
Gee.
See,
this then is that's it.
The thing that I think that...
Do you see me smiling? I love this bourbon.
Yes.
I love bourbon in general.
Yeah, but... this is how it all starts with Kristen. And let me just tell you that... Wow. This is, you can never get two sentences in too much about the food before, because you know what would be a perfect pairing for this.
She's on it.
And you went right to where you went right to the bourbon for this, which is really
yes, because it's a classic.
Important.
The flavors that are working together here, the caramel, the chocolate, the nuttiness with the bourbon, it's what you're going to find in Kentucky. It's what we do kind of everywhere. So I think you're getting a really good marriage. I like bourbon with dessert. Cream or fruit based or caramel desserts. I just think bourbon is a great, great thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes you forego the dessert and just go for the bourbon. That's okay too. But
that's never happened in my case. Don't you worry about it.
Would you do that ever?
Almost all the time. I think bourbon is a nice way to start the dinner and then to end the dinner.
Amen.
Then you got to do a little, you do some wine in between, and then you're good to go.
You serve it differently when you end the dinner. Is it like in some it's a tiny little bit that you just sip, or
no? It's straight up. If you just straight get up. It, neat. However, it is neat. Neat. Exactly. Yeah. Yep. I'll serve the same way. You can put a little bit of a nice cube in it if you'd like to, for sure, to kind of cool it down.
That's
open
okay.
Up some of the aromas. Absolutely.
I refer to that as the afterburner. That's basically what that is.
I knew you'd have a name for it.
Yeah,
I
like that.
Yeah, you just kind of throw that right on the engine as it's going, and it's that propels one into the evening.
Take you to the moon.
Mm-hmm. This is fantastic.
No, the bourbon's really nice, and it plays very well with the terrapin that Krista brought. It's just for us,
it's
we
perfection.
Thought it was a home run. Yeah. So
absolute
for Valentine's
perfection.
Day, we're just trying to give great pairings for success, and
definitely. And just
how do you define a success here? Please define success for me
on Valentine's Day.
If you go to bed happy, that's a success, right?
Okay.
Isn't that?
Mm-hmm. Or if you can get your wife
very
to
safe
smile.
Answer.
Yeah.
If your wife or girlfriend is smiling, then you've done well.
That's true.
Happy Valentine's
and
Day.
And I tell you, this made me smile. That was delicious.
Mm-hmm. That's what we
just
want.
Terrific.
Yeah.
That's a start right there. All right. Now we got this butterscotch hop. So this is like a butterscotch candy that we're doing here.
Yes. The thing I love about our butterscotch is that often when you think butterscotch, you think overly sweet, in your face, sometimes a bit too much. Mm. But our butterscotch is just really subtle and velvety in the mouth. And it's just a really, it's an experience.
You're not kidding. That's special. That really is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's done in this way where it looks like it almost could be jewelry. It's like this perfect way.
Aren't they beautiful?
They're beautiful.
Yeah.
It's like little gemstones, some of these.
No, they're just gorgeous. They really are.
Yeah, it's like a gold little package. Mm. And then the inside just matches that beauty on the outside, definitely.
Oh,
Crystal, how do people get this stuff right now? I mean, right now, the people are like, wait a second, what is she talking about?
How do we get this?
How do we get this in time for
you go
Valentine's
online
Day.
And you go to colorchocolates.com and you can place your order, and it will be at your doorstep before Valentine's Day.
We also maybe sell some color chocolates at Binnie's.
Really?
Maybe that's why we're here together. We don't know. They don't tell us.
Just maybe.
Yeah.
I'm going to look into that.
Yes.
I know.
I'm going to put the I-team on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where's Gowdy when you need him? All right. And then now you're actually putting this with a an ale.
Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Well, so it's called a butterscotch hop. And we thought butterscotch, it's quite voluminous. It's kind of round and velvety, right? So we thought a beer won't work, but we found one, and this is the Rye on Rye Ale. So it's an ale that's aged in first used rye barrels. And so it has a little bit of that sweetness to it, a little bit of that kind of, butterscotchy baking spice element anyway. And what we found was the CO2 from the bubbles in the beer actually kind of scrubs the tongue and really adds lift to the butterscotch.
Oh.
So it kind of renders it a bit more truncated, which I think is really awesome. So we're sort of hitting contrasting pairings here.
Oh, that's nice.
I was unsure about this, and it's amazing how they bounce back and forth in your mouth off each other just really marry together well.
Why would you question Kristen?
Easy on the bourbon.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why would you?
Isn't that good?
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. You did really, really, really well with this one.
I know. When you told me how excited you were about it, I was like, oh, she loves me. I have a fan.
Yes.
You outdid yourself.
I love this.
I have one friend. Thank you, Crystal.
You're welcome. Right,
no. Well, you are a Packer fan, so I mean, that's
yeah. We have a few things.
My guess is Crystal is a Packer fan too.
Oh, we got two Packer fans in the studio.
If you're gonna live in Wisconsin, it's like a must.
Yes, it's a must.
Absolutely have to. Okay, so we have to set up the.
Hold on 1 second. Let's stop here for a second, and then we will come back.
We're taking a break.
I'm overwhelmed, quite honestly.
Are you?
I don't know what else I can do.
Have another sip of bourbon.
It's the bourbon. It's the ale here, which is a rye, a whiskey based ale. Essentially, right? Whiskey sort of flavor, kind of.
It has elements of flavor, but I wouldn't say based.
Yes, because that would imply that it's actually made out of whiskey,
correct.
Which it is not.
It's not.
But it's flavored out of whiskey barrels.
Well, whiskey's kind of, it's beer in its first life. You know, whiskey's distilled beer, so I guess we're just going back to basics.
Yeah. And then the idea, too, of the barrel being, that's what they did to wine, right? That's how you make great wines, right? You put them in whiskey barrels, and then...
That's right. That's exactly it.
This is how
you take Big Zinfandel and you put it in,
yes.
in oak barrels. Yes.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what you do.
Somehow it just comes out bourbon so right.
And then, why wouldn't you do it with beer? And why wouldn't you throw the Kohler chocolates on top of it? All right, so, of course, as always, stop by Binny's. Go to binnies.com.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't have it, it's not worth drinking. And apparently also not worth eating, too, because they also have the Kohler Original Recipe chocolates there. Or you can go to kohlerchocolates.com. That's K-O-H-L-E-R, kohlerchocolates.com.
If you forget the name, you just look in your bathroom.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You don't know how to spell it, just go in there and check it out.
Right at the back of the toilet seat and go, hey, wait, hey.
Oh,
hey,
there's an H. There's an H.
What is that? All right.
Dad is staring at the toilet with his readers on, trying to...
there's an H in it! All right. Right now, Judy Pilak is standing by. She's going to tell us what's coming up at the bottom of the hour, the WGN newsroom.
I know. And now, so nice.
I miss you, baby, baby. Thinking about you day and night is crazy, crazy. And I'm wondering if you think about me, maybe, maybe. Wishing, hoping that you do. I hope that you do.
That's Andrew Salgado. He's got an album dropping tonight at midnight, and that is I Miss You, which is a track on that album. He's going to join us in just a few minutes as we have bullied him into debuting the album with us here on this program, since basically we found him. Now, this is quite a moment because we got the kids from Binny's, and Kristen Ellis, who's been with us, who's a regular on this program. She also has her own podcast right here at WGN, this Barrel to Bottle with Binny's, and it's a hit. It's a gigantic hit because people apparently like their alcohol. I don't know what is happening here, but you've brought your friend from Kohler, Wisconsin. This is like a whole sort of Packer thing happening in front of us, but it's okay. Badger, Packer, I don't know what's worse.
Well, they come bearing great food and drink.
I'm pretty sure the Packers are worse, considering most of Chicago goes to UWM.
Yeah, that's possible. Yeah, yeah.
Just, I call them like I see them, Ro.
Thank you. Now, this is amazing, because, I just thought Kohler was about your bathroom.
Uh-huh.
It's not.
No,
it's about,
turns out, no.
It's about the other end, too. It's about the chocolate. That's the best part.
I did too.
Kohler Original Recipe Chocolates, kohlerchocolates.com, which are just, they're blowing people away in this studio right now.
They are voluminous. Can I use that word? Honestly, they look gorgeous. They look like almost too good that you don't want to eat them. Then when you eat them, you're so happy you did.
The one thing I don't want to do is truncate this interview. So let's move along here and say that what Kristen's done is she's paired something. I'm telling you, guys, I want you to stop for just a second. I want you to think about something.
Mm-hmm.
What we're doing here, I'm just watching the reaction of these folks around me here, and they all happen to be beautiful women, so it's working out very well for me today. And I'm watching them have the chocolate and then sip on these pairings that Kristen has prepared.
Mm.
And I'm just going to tell you, this is all you kind of need for Valentine's Day, if that's what you're looking for.
Women, we're simple people. We're very simple creatures.
Really?
I don't think
that's true.
It's all we need.
No, we're simple. You just have to guess how we're feeling. That's all.
Yeah. Now! What am I thinking right now?
Yeah. That's not it.
Okay. Okay, I got it. I've got it. All right. Let's go to the Cafe and Cream here. You explain. Why should I explain it? You're here. You go ahead and explain it.
I love this chocolate so, so much.
The blue one?
The Cafe and Creme, the one in the middle.
Oh, got it.
Try it. It's way too get inside of it.
So something you have to to think about when we're going through this is every piece we do is handcrafted. We don't use machines. We don't automate. Everything is painted, sprayed, shelled, filled by hand, which is pretty impressive with the way we do things. So the cafe and creme, this is one of our coffee pieces, and it's actually a two-layer piece. So you get a really rich, dark chocolate coffee layer. Mm-hmm. And then you get this really mellow cream that kind of just takes the bite off and mellows the whole piece. And that's really what attracted me to the pairing.
Yeah.
This is
so good.
Well, it's
kind of like when you get a piece of chocolate cake. It can be too sweet, but you get a scoop of vanilla ice cream, and the ice cream kind of cuts the cake. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You're still using sweet and sweet, but that cream sort of helps too, and the acid in the milk actually helps to kind of
give
that lift.
It.
And so it's the same thing. So when we were talking about what to pair, Kristen and I decided on the Kohler dark chocolate brandy. Now, going into it, I thought this was going to be too much of a good thing, right? Too much chocolate on chocolate. Yeah. But it wasn't. And we were very pleasantly surprised that it worked very, very well. Yeah.
And they both do the same thing with one another. The brandy hits you with this bold flavor and then really mellows. And the cafe and cream does the same exact thing in your mouth.
Yeah.
And it's just exciting.
It is exciting.
Okay. Hey, gentlemen, I just want you to be listening to this. Just listen to what you're hearing, and I'm telling you.
This is a home run.
All right, so we have to move along here. Blueberry Rare Facet. Now, what is this?
This is, it looks like a jewel. It is bright blue, and it's got a creamy, subtle blueberry ganache filling. And it's just... these pieces.
What's the shell? Is the shell?
It's a dark chocolate shell, and then it has a blueberry ganache filling.
Oh boy!
But just the rare facets are so beautiful. They look like little gems, and it's just sometimes really hard to eat them because they're so beautiful and they're just bold. And
but eat them anyway. That was what I would suggest.
Yeah. They're smooth. It's so smooth and creamy. It's delicious.
And so, you're doing a sparkling wine with this.
Illinois
right?
Sparkling Company. We did their Rosé Demi-Sec. So the classic pairing we talk about, I shouldn't say that. A mistake people make, is they give milk chocolate and brut champagne.
Mm-hmm.
And that just kind of renders the champagne acidic and just gross and even more bitter. So you want a sweet wine with sweet food. So I found this Illinois Sparkling Company Demi-Sec Rosé, and I thought that it paired so darn well with this blueberry chocolate.
They're actually in Illinois?
They're in Illinois.
Oh,
yes,
wow.
They are. They're about a two-hour drive, and you can be in heaven in their tasting room and drinking this traditionally made fizz. Yeah, it's fantastic. So, we've got it on the shelf for $30, handcrafted, local, beautiful, beautiful wine. And it's got a slight little bit of tannin to it that really kind of helps to back up with the dark chocolate.
All right, before we let you out of here, the dark chocolate heart, right? Now, this is the winner, right?
Yes,
gentlemen, this is your key.
By the time
key.
You get to this one.
This is your key. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say key to what, but it's a key. And the dark chocolate heart, and you paired this with a bunch of different things here, right?
I did, but I brought the earthquakes in. Because people are always trying to pair a dry wine, a red wine, with chocolate. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
That's true.
But this particular gin with the dark chocolate and the raspberry flavor actually works very well. It doesn't make the wine too acidic or tannic or bitter. It keeps the fruit. You keep that kind of round, very voluptuous characteristic. And it's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, because Zin sometimes can be a little, I'd use the word cloying. That's the word I would use to describe it, but this is not this one. This is light on the tongue.
Yep, I didn't know I needed a dictionary for this segment.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Cloying. Yeah, we don't want that. We want a light buoyant. I think we learned buoyancy about this. And lift.
Absolutely.
We're lifting. There's a lot of lifting.
We're lifting with the acid.
There's lifting.
Anything you want to add about this old raspberry heart?
With the heart. Men, you are literally taking a man and a woman and putting them into a piece of chocolate because this has cognac and champagne married together in a piece of chocolate.
That's what I was tasting.
And it's red and it has pink, lovely splatters of loveliness all over the top.
Yeah.
And they just look gorgeous and... Right. It's just the best of both worlds.
Fellas, if this doesn't work, nothing will. I'm just here to promise you that. All right. Two ways you can do this.
It wasn't going to happen.
Are we putting this all up on the web? Are we doing that?
Yes, we always do.
All right.
Thumbs up. Yes, we are.
Like Kristen's like, yeah, all right. She's like, she works upstairs. I work down here. I've never even been upstairs in this building. I don't even know what goes on up there. All right. You go to WGNradio.com. All of these pairings are there. If you want, stop in at any of the Binnie's locations. There are 4,500 of them in Chicago, right?
There are about 3,000 of us now. 3,000 stores, yeah. Mm-hmm. 38
stores. That's close enough. That's Binnie's.com also is a great way to do it. And then for the Kohler chocolates, because these are something special. This is not not your run-of-the-mill. It's not something you get every day.
No.
KohlerChocolates.com. KOHLER chocolates.com.
Right, and that's there. All it takes. Women, right. We're very simple.
We did this. Oh, we did the same exercise.
Very simple.
We're just, we're mysterious, but simple.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. All right, I got to run. Now I got a guy who's going to sing love songs.
I know.
I think, people, you get this record that he just put out, the album he just put out, and you get the Kohler chocolates, and you get the stuff from Binnie's that Kristen talked about, and I'm going to tell you something right now. It's baby making time. All right.
I am out.
It's all thanks, coming Kristen. Your way, but first, stay right
thank
here.
You.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Crystal.
Yes,
appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yes, of course.
Let me be your love and your grace, your fire and rain, your hurt when in pain, your shoulder to lay on, your sign when you're lost, your fame when it's gone, the truth when it fades. Baby, let me be your escape.
That's Andrew Salgado right there. And this is one of the tracks of his new album, which goes on sale tonight, where all fine music is sold on the internet. And that is, it's on your iTunes, it's on your whatever.
Spotify.
Amazon. Google.
Yeah, Google. Yeah.
Wherever you want to find it, it's right there. You can download it right to your device.
Just like that.
Yep.
Andrew Salgado.
He actually handed me, look at this. Mm-hmm. I have in my hand right now, I have what's called a compact disc.
What are those?
This is something that the kids, the kids are getting compact disc players for Christmas. Did you say
that's actually not a cup holder?
what
the kids are saying?
Is that where you put the latte?
It's actually a flying Death Star. you know what's interesting is that I read somewhere, I hope I'm wrong about this, that you know how vinyl came back, and vinyl is interesting and something, but cassettes are making a return.
Yeah, vintage.
Yeah, but vinyl has a benefit to it. Like, it sounds better than CD or how does cassette, why would anybody even bring that back? It's just a hassle.
Because it's your fault, Kevin, and it's the fault of your generation.
Take responsibility for it, okay?
I mean, it's...
For thinking crappy is cool. And it's not.
That's right.
It is not. Now, the CD is okay, because if you got to do it, but, you know, it's a download now. It's going to be on your phone. You're going to play your phone in your car and do the whole thing. And there's just no two ways.
Or your playlist. Playlists are really huge right now on Apple Music and Spotify. So
right. And you're on that. And you're on that. So just to put Andrew Salgado on that. All right, let's talk about this record now. Or the album, I should say.
Because, very excited to talk about it.
Yeah, this is...
sounds great from what I've heard.
Very proud of you. You know, you debuted this song, Out of the Blue, with us. And we played a little bit of it just a few minutes ago. And it is, I'm telling you, one of the best sad songs ever.
Well, it's so relatable.
Ever.
Yes. Kind of brings you to that emotional place.
It does.
If you want a good cry... Yeah, and you just might want to Out of the Blue is will just
or if on Valentine's Day you're having chocolates.
Oh, I want to by yourself.
Yeah, and you're by yourself. Things didn't work out very well.
There you go.
This song is an absolute. I mean, I'm like a 13-year-old girl sitting in bed crying. That song is so emotional. It's so great.
It is.
Thanks, buddy.
And your performance is amazing.
Thank you.
And the
Thank
track, you did it live for us here. And and it's a proper country song, too. If people are interested in country ballads, it really is that.
That's a great story.
Yeah, this record was so much fun to make because we did it completely different. We didn't hire any musicians. Me and my producer worked on everything with our own two hands, even all the beats and everything that you hear, we built together. And so we wanted to do that to make it really me. I wanted to make this record, because I know you said country. I wanted to make this record honest and just myself. Mm-hmm. Whether someone says this is country, someone says this is pop, someone says this is folk, that's fine to me. I just want to make it honest. And Out of Blue was just written. It wasn't written about one particular girl. It was written about a lot of particular girls where it just kind of went down that path. And so it was honest. And then the rest of the songs are written very real for someone who's in my life right now. And so I really wanted to capture that.
Wow.
Yeah, and the reason it's called 86 Volume 1,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and spoiler alert, there's a Volume 2 coming, is I was born on 8/8/86, and I was 8 pounds and 6 ounces.
Oh,
so it thought, if 86. We're going to tell it me, yeah.
Okay, because you think 86 has another meaning, too.
Yeah, to 86 something.
Right.
Want to make sure people don't think
that's
that.
That's not it.
So this is basically what we're doing here is we're sort of introducing you to the world. You're coming out of the musical womb here is basically what it is.
That's what we're
and
doing.
And this is Andrew Salgado. This is what he's about because it is, you know, for the last number of years you've been coming on this program, you've been playing, and you do have it. There's pop, there is country, there's like, you know, proper country, then there's country pop, and also just, you know, playing rock and roll in this too. So it's really, which is kind of where music is anyway. You know, you watch the Grammys, and I was, you know, watching them a couple weeks ago, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, when you've got country acts getting up there, and you're stopping, and you think, I'm just thinking about when I was a kid and I'd watch the Grammys, and there'd be somebody in a gigantic, overly ornate dress
with big hair
that just would not end.
Yes,
and singing, you know, a twangy country song. You're like, this is not what this is about anymore. Mm-hmm. So yeah. it's an interesting moment. And you did this in Nashville, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Ro, if you look at AndrewSalgado.net, you'll notice he claims to be from Nashville now, even though we knew him when he was from Darien, Illinois.
Here. Yes. It's to show you how happy I came here during the worst week of snow that anyone ever has.
Well, it's not quite yet, but it will by Friday.
Stay till Friday.
But you've got a release party on Friday, don't you?
Sold out.
Yeah.
The congratulations on that. Sold out. Thank you.
And where are you doing that?
It's going to be in Woodridge.
There's
a good friend of mine who owns a bar. It's called Shanahan's, and we wanted to do it there, and we put the tickets up on sale, and then they just sold out.
So we're happy with that. All right.
It's all over now.
All right. By the way, and I would just like to say this is the last time that Andrew's going to be on this program, because this thing's going to be a hit.
Well, you're
and then the next thing you know,
I feel that too.
It'll be like, hey, Andrew, you want to come back and do that song that's number one that you just won the Grammy for? And it'll be like, dude, I can't. You know, because Chance did that. You know, Chance did that to a few folks in this town.
I won't, because I'm looking over here and I see 7 pieces of chocolate. If you keep putting food here, I'm going to keep coming.
I don't think that's going to do it. All right,
I think you're underestimating.
Can we talk about back home for a second here?
We can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to play this track.
Yeah. Sure.
Can we do this? Because it's got an interesting story, too. Why don't you tell us what it is?
Back Home was written, this is the first record that I didn't write with anyone else. I wrote it my entire self, and it was very nerve-wracking doing that, and I had to dig deep into what I really wanted to talk about. And Back Home it's exactly what I want to say right now, and it fits. Being away from my family is really difficult, and for me, going on the road is fun, and doing this as a career is fun, but when it's all over, and it will be all over one day, it's always going to be that my family's there, my friends are there, and that love and support is always there. So Back Home is actually me coming back home. So enjoy.
Yes. All right. Well, here we go. Andrew Salgado, the album is hitting tonight at midnight.
Yes, sir.
It's going to be very big. Here it is, Back Home, which is a track that is totally all about Andrew Salgado.
I was so lost, just working through the memories. I was gone for a long time, thought this was a home for me. But I'm packing up, moving out, leaving everything on the ground. There's some place waiting on me. So I'm coming home, where I plan to never leave my family again. Choosing love over lust is the only way I can break the past, heal the pain, trust in the Lord and all His grace. I'm sorry, but I have to go back home. Thought that there would come a day where this place wouldn't be a home for me to stay. But I know why this can't ever turn into a real plan. There's some place that's waiting on me. So I'm coming home, where I plan to
to never leave my family again. Choosing love over lust is the only way I can break the past, heal the pain, trust in the Lord and all His grace. I'm sorry, but I have to go back home. So I'm coming home where I plan to never leave my family again. Choosing love over lust is the only way I can break the past, heal the pain, trust in the Lord and all His grace. I'm sorry, but I have to go back home where I plan to never leave my family again. Choosing love over lust is the only way I can break the past, heal the pain, trust in the Lord and all His grace. I'm sorry, but I have to go back home. I'm sorry, but I have to go back home. Yeah. Sorry, but I have to go back home.
Andrew Salgado, that is a track off the new album, 86, Volume 1. It hits the interwebs tonight at midnight. It's available. It's been on presale from iTunes. Mm-hmm. And tonight, it's going to hit your box.
It is.
Tonight at midnight. Midnight somewhere. We haven't decided where yet, but no. Midnight somewhere. And we'll get all of the and it's going to be a big hit because it's got great tracks on it, including, to me, one of the great like cry your eyes out ballads I have ever heard, and I've heard a lot of them. Mm-hmm. I've been around this business a long time.
You've cried your eyes out a couple of times.
The first time you did this, I'm like, I can't believe how great this song is. Out of the blue,
I did cry my eyes out.
Recorded it, and we made a whole record after it.
Yeah, I know. It's just an amazing. I want a writing credit on it because it's going to be a huge hit.
No.
Then I can retire. All right, back with Andrew Salgado. But first, right now, Rob Martire is going to tell us what's coming up at the top of the hour news.